So we're finishing over today, maybe next week, our discussion, our limud in this new sefer from the author of Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, Rav Schwartz, Sefer Shar Hanun, to try to understand the chiddush of what it is that we're contending with these days. To understand the chiddush of what we're contending with, and once we understand what it is that we're up against, then we can try to utilize the eitzah of the Torah, the two basic eitzahs that we're learning about now, the two eitzahs of the Torah of how to try to contend with this as best as we can, and of course with a lot of davening. So in Shin Pei Dalet was the first eitzah. Shin Pei Dalet. And this really is converging with what we're learning in the Shiurim, in Sharagan, when we're talking about Yechida Shebenefesh. In order to fight against this enemy that we've been discussing over the past few weeks, an enemy that, just like Yaakov Avinu had Miyad Ochi, Miyad Esav, Yaakov Avinu's war, or Yaakov Avinu's issue, was complicated because it was his brother, Miyad Achi. It's his brother, but he was also Esav. So we're dealing with now the technology that we have is Achi. It's a brother, because it's a way to make a parnasa, and it's a way for people to access Shiurim and to save time shopping and doing all kinds of good things. So it has this part. It has this quality of being Achi, my brother. On the other hand, it's the Esav is very, very strong and very scary, and that's what makes this milchama very difficult. But on a deeper level, it's because of the reasons that we've been talking about the past few weeks that we've been learning in this maimer, that there's never been such a challenge to our avodas Hashem that's coming from a place that has a tam of Ein Sof, of the infinite. And that's what we've been talking about these past few weeks. So how do you fight against an Esav when the Esav is pulling out of his bag something that comes from the Shar Hanun, which is Kain, that which is infinite, which is Ein Sof, the whole that we've been talking about, this the way the internet works, the way technology works, and especially artificial intelligence. And since we've been starting to talk about it, a couple of chevrim giving me articles, and I'm trying to read up a little bit more to understand how it works. There's a very chashuv Talmud Chacham, and so Dr. Moshe Kapel. Moshe Kapel, he spoke here once many years ago. He's a very, very big Talmud Chacham, and he's a brilliant statistician and mathematician and computer expert. So he's really like leading the chevra of how to like try to figure out a mahalach with artificial intelligence and Torah and halacha. So he wrote an article recently in one of these online Jewish magazines. I don't remember, Mosaic or Tablet, one of those that one of the chevra gave me, and on artificial intelligence. And that brought about a whole bunch of other articles. And there's a whole shakla v'tarya between Talmidei Chachamim and experts in this technology, of just to understand, not so much the Indian of Kedusha and Tahara, the Indian of Yosef HaTzadik, but in terms of what Shabbos is going to be like. They're trying to, what Shabbos is going to be like? What's Kasher is going to be like? Their artificial intelligence is able to, or they're ready, I don't know now, but they're adot there to create all kinds of edible things. It's like the removal of Yerudea and all kinds of things that are going on and that are happening very quickly. And so there's a lot of discussion now, just starting a lot of discussion on this subject. I haven't seen Tshuvas and Halacha from Poskim yet. Maybe they're out there, I don't know. Again, there's some talk about it, but this is a This is what we're up against. So how do we contend with this? So these are the two H's that Hashem Yisbarach gave us. Aleph, Pei Shin, Pei Dalet. And this we're learning about in the Shaar HaGan. HaHechrech Lecha is Bo'er Mesirus HaMesirus Nefesh B'dor Didan. And that's why this birur that's taking place right now in Eretz Yisrael, there's this huge birur with this milchama, where we're being asked to be Moshe Nefesh, Laman Hashem. But Mesirus Nefesh doesn't only mean fighting in the war. That's a huge Mesirus Nefesh. It's the highest level of Mesirus Nefesh. Obviously, to be ready to give up your life. And as we're learning about in Shaar HaGan, the Maimer from Rav Sasson, is that that readiness, that willingness for a Jew to give up his life opens him up to that place that's called Yechide Shebenefesh, the essence of the soul, the very deepest part of the soul. So, B'chol HaDairis Kulam Hayu Ez Darche HaMelchama Shal Yodam Ha'adam Hayu Nilcham Em Karches Hara. Throughout all the generations, we had all the different weapons that were given to us through Chazal and the Svarim, the Musar and Hasidus and later generations, but all of the Svarim that we have to teach us how to fight. But as we've been learning, in our generation, the type of warfare is different. It's just a different warfare. And as we spoke about a few weeks ago, if you're going to still hold on to the old way of milchama, you're not going to last for a minute. That's how it is with regular warfare. If you're still fighting the way that they fought in the 40s or the 50s, or whatever it is, that's not going to work nowadays. These things are changing all the time. So the darche hamilchama. So what's happening is that most of our kids are being raised in wonderful places and going to wonderful yeshivas, and the darche hamilchama. That was the manner of warfare that they're being taught is the same that we were taught. We, meaning 20 years ago, 30, 40, 50 years ago, the Darche Melchama, because these are the Darche Melchama that we have from Chazal. So if they worked for Zaidi, then they should work for me. But nobody would say that about it. Nobody would say that about a war, a physical war, that if a machine gun worked for Zaidi, that it's going to, that it's going to work for me. When there's all kinds of crazy things out there now on the battlefield. So what are you going to do? You're going to be standing around. There's a drone. And you're going to say, I don't accept that. And the drone says, oh, I'm about to kill you. So you don't exist because my Zaidi didn't have drones, and I'm only using the weapons that my Zaidi used. And that's pretty much how we were taught. That these are the weapons that our Zaidis and Bobbies had. And that's all you have in your bag, and just you have to fight the war of Tavshin Peidal with a gun. There are people that were telling me. I was talking to one on the phone at the beginning. There was one of the guys went up, a reservist went up, and they gave him a gun. It looked like from 1973, because they didn't have enough to give out to the chevra, because all of a sudden they called up 250,000 guys or something, and they didn't have enough equipment at the beginning.
Do we take Divrei Rabbanim from 30 years ago, like when they quote these pamphlets that they put out from Avigdor Miller, when he's saying something on a tape from 1973? So do we take that and say, understand that he said in 1973, or is it, that do we feel like the same thing would apply?
Look, Eitan, it's a good question. Whether or not Rabbi Miller, Rabbi Avigdor Miller, in 1973, he wasn't anticipating the Milchama of 2024. If you want to say he was a Baal Ruach HaKadosh, but that's not important. It's not necessary. Because whether it was Rabbi Miller or any other Talmud Chacham that was saying things, then it means that Hashem spoke through them. Hashem spoke to us through the Tzaddikim. That's why we can open up Masechta Chulin, and we're going to find in there, we're going to find in Chulin or in Bava Basra, we're going to find the weapons that we need for Tavshin Pei Dalet. Now, here's where it gets tricky, because you need to have the eyes of a tzaddik in 20, 24, Tavshin Peidal, that the eyes of the tzaddik has to look over the Gemara and Chulin, and we've been doing this until now. When Shilas came up to Rav Moshe, to Rav Shlomo Zalman, yesterday was Rav Shlomo Zalman, when things came up to Rav, about an electric shaver. So we didn't have that in the Haim. So, or when things came up about the chidushim and technology in 1973, there were chidushim technology, and then they would come to Rav Moshe, they came to Rav Avad Yosef, they came to Rav Shlomo Zalman, the Gedolei Hador, and they said, Rabbi Seinu, what is this? What do we do with this? So Rav Moshe Feinstein's eyes would look at the Gemara, and would look at the Rishonim, and he would see the Ruach HaKodesh embedded in the Gemara, that Hashem is Baruch already planted through the mouths and the hearts and the minds of Chazal. It was planted solutions to these problems. And that's really what Moshe Kapel and the people that are working on the artificial intelligence, the from people, that's what they're trying to understand from the Gemara. Again, the post-Gem and that, they're probably studying the technology to understand. So what Rabbi Victor Miller said in 1973 has to be sorted out. And you can extract from that schmooze something that will be a useful weapon for you in 2024. It will be useful, but we need hadracha of how to sort these things out. Because what's happening to a lot of the guys is they'll just take the whole schmooze from Rav Miller, and much of it is not nogeya anymore, even though at the time it was very useful. A lot of it's not useful anymore. It's not going to help the guys now, right? And this they're going to go out like shooting a water gun, you know, against Hamas. It's just not going to work. It worked back then. It's not going to work now. And so if you look at Svarim, again, well, I'm not talking about the Gemara. The Gemara is all, they're all Bali Ruach HaKodesh and so on. So, but we look at the Svarim, but we have to look with fresh eyes and try to understand Aliba de Hilchasa. Aliba de Hilchasa means La Halacha. La Halacha means in our generation, in our time, how do we understand Chazal when it comes to questions of genetic engineering? What is that? So the Gemara talks about that. How could the Gemara have spoken about it? No, but there are models in the Gemara of the Svaris that are behind that. Now, the problem with what I'm reading about now is the problem with artificial intelligence is that, and that's what we're learning about the Shana, is there are chedushim here that, like, there, and the Rabbanim are sitting back and saying, wow, what is that? It was relatively easy for a person like Rav Moshe Feinstein, because he knew Kalatar Kula inside out, every single thing. So for Rav Moshe, it was relatively easy to look at the shaver and to say, oh, you know, this is we could take the Gemara on Shabbos, we could take the Gemara on Bava Metzia, because he had that panoramic view of Kol HaTorah Kula. But what's happening now, when there's something that's Ke'ein, this, like we're learning about, something that's from a different Madrega. It's a different Madrega. It's almost like we're not talking about the regular Seder of creation, which is Yesh Meyesh, something from something, and it looks like we're dealing with a Metzias of, it's not, but it looks like, it resembles Yesh Me'ayin. Like, it resembles Yesh Me'ayin. So this is, what they're talking about, these Talmidei Chacham and these professors, what they're discussing online, is that we better move quickly to try to understand with the tools that Hashem Yisbarach has given us in Tavshin Peidal, we better move very quickly to try to figure this out. And the fear is that the technology is happening so quickly that the Rabbanim are not keeping up with it. So this is what I'm seeing, the conversations that are going on. I mean, there's a lot going on now, just the past few weeks, from what people have given me. I don't know, I don't go on the computer, I don't know how to find these things, but I mean, to begin with, Moshe Kapel's article would be a starting point, because he has a very big breadth, a broadness of understanding in both Torah and computers. But that's the question. What Eitan is asking is the question, of course. So until now, you had a great person like Rav Moshe or Rav Shlomo Zalman, and they had the whole Torah at their fingertips. So that was all part of creation. But what seems to be happening is something that's transcending creation. And everybody's just saying, what do we do with this? So what's the Derech HaMelchama, coming back to what we're learning? What weapon do we have? What weapon do we have? Again, that's what I was talking about until now with all these articles. That's about halacha. There was a little bit of a discussion also with how is it going to affect areas of hashkafa as well. I'm not going to get to that right now. We already have really been talking about that. But as far as halacha, that's something else. But here, in terms of the melchama of Yosef HaTzadik that we're learning, our chabura and kedusha, It's a different war, different weapons. We just have learned how the koach of ra, of evil, in our generation, is something that's different. It's new. Therefore, our way of fighting against this has to be different than in earlier generations. And the truth is that every generation had to find new ways of dealing. When socialism and communism, these were also chidushim. In every generation, there were enemies. And therefore, the chachmei hador, or the chachmei hadoris, in every generation, they had to be mechadesh, new tachsisei melchama, new strategy to fight against the melchama of the Enlightenment, of the Haskalah. The doors of secularization of the ghetto was torn down, and Jews were exposed to the secular world in a way that they had never been exposed before, and the tzaddik and the chassam sofer in Hungary, and Reb Shams Shaval Hirsch in Germany. The Svartan really didn't have to contend with that at that time. But in Europe, the tzaddikim, the Tamil Chacham, each in his own way, they were looking for new weapons to fight, the Tzemach Tzaddik, I mean, weapons to fight against that enemy that was a new enemy, the enemy of the Haskalah, of the Enlightenment. That was a new enemy where it became possible for Jews to go to universities. It became possible for, not to us, this is, we don't see any kind of a, we're trying to get them out of the universities now. So we didn't see this as any kind of a, we don't see this as a chiddush that some kid goes to university. But my father, Zechar Levacha, told me that where he came from, when there was a young man that decided he wanted to go to Vienna or to Prague, then the family was crying that it's finished, his whole Yiddishkeit is done. It's not like now, somebody goes to Queen's College. You know, there were problems in Queen's College also if you went to the kosher cafeteria and you met a nice girl. But it was a different kind of a problem. But my father said that he had a cousin that was raised with all of them like that in that insular world of pre-war Hungary. And he was always on the edge, my father said, with things, with Yiddishkeit. He kept everything out of respect for his parents, but then he decided he's going to Prague. And my father said that the family, it was like Shiva. They're all crying. What's going to be with? It's going to be with Heshi. What's going to be with Heshi? It's finished. The mice said he was killed in the end. But my father remembers what it was like when a Jew went to university from the town. When a Jew left and he went out to the big city. So that was a milchama that now we look at that and we say that. Were we successful fighting against the milchama? Yeah, we lost a big chunk of our people. We've never really recuperated. What about the war of Jews that they were fighting in communist Russia? What was it like in communist Russia to be a Jew in the 1920s, 1930s, to be in communist Russia, or in communist Russia after World War II? My mother had a cousin that went back to Munkach, and she remained in Munkach, that became already Ukraine after the war, and she this cousin she had kids. My mother was in touch. I remember there were letters back and forth, but the children all married out. They're finished. It's done. They married. They married out. That was communism after the war, and the chachamim, the chachamim hadaris always were trying to look at the same Gemara and to try to understand from the Gemara and from the Rishonim what was Hashem telling us back then. What were the weapons that He was giving us? How do we use this Gemara now? And then you always had there was certain Tamir Chacham that was saying everything is the same, everything is the same, everything is the same. We're not changing anything, and so on and so forth. And that battle was lost. So there is this continuous need of adjusting and trying to understand, and we depend upon the tzaddikim and the Gedolei Hadar to guide us. So, but here we're up against something that compared to earlier generations, this is again something which is not as in any way as clear as it's been in the past of what the weapons are. Mul koach hara shebetzuras adam shahaya ad dor didan havod ha'isal hamis koach hatov shebetzuras adam shebenefesh kolechad ve'echad. Until now, the way that the general mahalach of warfare was, there's the Yetzer HaTov and there's the Yetzer Hara. Fine. And every person is a Yetzer HaTov and there's a Yetzer Hara. You want to call Nefesh Bahamas, Nefesh Elokis, but there's a Tov and there's a Ra, ever since Adam and Chava ate from the tree. So there's this Teruvus, there's this confusion, and there's Tov and there's Ra. And therefore, the Melchama, the Avoda was, Lahamad is Koach HaTov, Shibutsu is Adam, Shem Nefesh Kol Echad Vech. They tried to strengthen the side of Tov. So Chassidus, for the most part, was working to illuminate, to highlight, to uplift, and to inspire the side of Tov. Musa's Mahal was more to try to destroy, to denigrate, to destroy, to attack the side of Ra. There's more Sur Meira, this is more Asay Tov. But both of them were, both Chassidus and Musa, were addressing that that internal turmoil where there's the Yetzer Hara and there's the Yetzer HaTov. And that's what it's called. So Chassidus is more Lahamid is Koach HaTov Shibetzuras Adam Shemenefesh called Echad Ve'echad. Kolach Lefi Madrigos B'Seidu HaNacham. You try. And you look at all the Chassidus as far. It's all about to be Mechazek the Elokus within the person, to be Megala the Neshama, to reveal, and so on. It's all the same Nakuda. And by the Muslims, it was mostly to try to understand the evil, the wickedness of the Yetzirah, and to uncover the lie of the Yetzirah. And when you uncover the lie, and you're honest, and you're Eilich, you can throw the Seir La'Azazel off the mountain. But this is generally, throughout history, this is how we were fighting. And we see that it was Hashgacha Pratis, that at the end of time, Hashem brought down the Tzaddikim from the Bali Musa, and the Talmidei Baal Shem were brought down. And even in learning that Hashem brought down, Rav Dessler spoke about this, and other tzaddikim spoke about this, that even when it came to learning Gemara, that Hashem sent down things like the Daf Yomi. The Daf Yomi was a gift to Am Yisrael that its earlier generations didn't have to have the Daf Yomi. What would it look like if we didn't have the Daf Yomi? And then in terms of regular Jews, when I was growing up, regular Jews, because then the Daf wasn't such a big thing like now. And regular people, it wasn't like now. The amount of learning, you can't compare what the Daf Yomi, what it did, what it's doing. And then when it came to learning, let's say learning more Bi'iyun, learning not just the Daf quickly, but learning more Bi'iyun. So Hashem sent into the world Reb Chaim Brisker, right? Reb Chaim, he sent the whole world to Brisk. And he sent in Poland, he sent the Avni Nezer, and then you had the Rogatchover. That even people who are regular people like us can sit down and learn a Blat Gemara, not just to learn a Blat Gemara, to go through quickly a Blat Gemara. We can learn a Blat Gemara. We can mamish have a whole Welt of Lomdus. You can learn a beautiful shiur. You can hear a shiur from Goyim. Most of our, unless they were Rabbanim, our great grandparents, our great grandfathers were not hearing these kind of shiurim like we're hearing. They didn't go to shiur like that. They were taking care of the chickens and the cows, whatever they were doing. And this one, even the one that learned, he'd go to Marv. After Marv, he would open up an Ein Yankov, some Mishnayos. And yeah, some Talmid Chacham, they sat and they learned Gemara. But even among the ones that were learning Gemara, they weren't learning world-class Torah B'Iyun. Who was doing that? In yeshivas, they were doing that. But regular Balabatim, just regular people, they weren't Isaac in this kind of learning. They didn't have, you think if we would have gone back If you go back 100 years, between Mincha Maariv, and going from the Shvi Shel Pesach to the Achad Shel Pesach, Mincha Maariv, what do you think that there was a Shia like and some kind of a chilek, you know, between Chavetz and Gavra? They told him, come back. They told him, come back from Maariv. Or the people took out Mishnayis. Took out Mishnayis. Whatever it wasn't a Shir. It was Kiddush Aruch. Wasn't a Lamdas. No, we could all walk around with Svarim and Shirim. So Rav Dessler said that Hashem Yisbach, because the enemy was the enemy of the Haskalah. That was the enemy. The enemy was intellectualism. The enemy was secularization and intellectualism, where for the first time Jews were exposed to what's out there in philosophy, in literature. They were exposed to the world. So the Rav Shalom sent the Reb Chaim Brisker, because Reb Chaim, if you learn Reb Chaim, then that's a weapon. That's the weapon to fight against him. Because even a simple person can enter into the world of Brisk and can have such an aliyah in his that it's so unbelievably exciting, intellectually exciting. Well, again, our grandparents, great-grandparents, they didn't have this kind of stuff because it wasn't the time yet. Hashem sends every generation what it needs to fight, always. That means that whenever the shmuzen, that gewalt, we're finished, it can't be. Hashem didn't leave us. You know, you have these pessimists, everything. We're finished, we're done. There's no such thing. Hashem gave every generation the Darche HaMelchama. But what's the Derech HaMelchama at the end of time? When we have not intelligence, we have artificial intelligence, which is Me'ein Ein Sof. So it's interesting. Let's learn. The Derech HaMelchama is the most ancient. In other words, what's oldest is actually the most relevant. The Koach of Ra now is beyond Tzuras Adam. It's not about a Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. It's Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara that nobody ever dreamt of. Koach Rabchin is saying stuff, as we've been learning. Achayez Garbus Alav Hi Ha'amodas Avoda Shemushreshes Bibchinas Shel Ein Sof. Obviously, the weapon that we have to take out is a weapon of Ein Sof. We have to fight Ein Sof with Ein Sof. That's it. And what's the weapon of Ein Sof? So again, there are two. Va'avoda sheshorsha be'Ein Sof hi avoda be'ofen shel mesiras nefesh. The weapon of Ein Sof is mesiras nefesh, self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice. It's not enough anymore for a Jew to be just orthodox and complacent. It's not enough. Yiddishkeit without Mesiras Nefesh is not going to survive. Chas v'Shalom cannot survive the onslaught of Ein Sof in Tuma, the Shaar HaNun. The only Yiddishkeit that can thrive, that can survive and thrive at the end of time by this Milchama is Yiddishkeit of Ein Sof. And when does a Jew touch? When does he come into contact with Ein Sof? When he pushes himself in his Avodas Hashem beyond his limitations. When he goes to a place that he couldn't possibly do, that he felt was impossible for him. That's Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh Kipshuta means with the army, what's going on, that's Kipshuta, Mesiras Nefesh. But for every person, when it comes to not just in learning, but everything, with your midas, with everything, Mesiras Nefesh. Avoda b'ofen shem mesiras nefesh. Mitzad kach kol adam b'dor didan. Every single person in our generation, everyone in our generation, chayiv lechoz, must grab hold of, must hold on to. Velu b'miktzas. Doesn't mean that you have to be. Doesn't mean that only like you know again ready to die, or ad hasof. But every single one has to live luba miktsas beha'oras ha-mesirus nefesh. With the or, a Yiddishkeit, with the or of mesirus nefesh. Because as we're learning the Sharagan, mesirus nefesh, even when it requires a slight amount of mesirus nefesh. That's why I'm hacking for all the years. Why do you come to shul? Shul's at 8:30 on Shabbos. Why do you come at 8:40? Can't you manage that to come? You can't get up 15 minutes earlier. You can't be moichel on the coffee in the kitchen on Shabbos morning. I'm talking about the smallest amount. Do something different. Different. Extra. Extra. When it comes to everything in our lives, that part of you that says, I can't, and you defy that. When you do that, when you defy that part of you that says, I can't, and you defy that, that opens up a part of you that's called Yechidus HaBenefesh. That opens that up inside of a person. That gives you, that sends like a little thing, a little cell of Yechidus HaBenefesh. And when a person begins more and more to live a life of Mesiras Nefesh, where he takes the extra, or he stops something when he feels like this is something he's always done, and he holds himself back with Mesiras Nefesh. V'lu b'miktzas. V'lu b'miktzas. When a person does that, there's a hisgalus of the neshama. Because that koach to do that comes from the neshama, not from the guf. Because the guf gives in. The body gives in. The body wants something, gives in. The body wins, that's it. It's finished. So that's the guf. How to overcome the voice of the guf is through Mesiras Nefesh. And when a person luba mixas is Maisa Nefesh, then the guf stands back in awe. And the neshama says, I'm the balabas. For this moment, I'll see what's going to be later, but for this moment, the neshama says, I'm the balabas. And once a person is able to access that part of himself that's infinite, he could fight against the infinite. Of Tumah, he could fight against the Sharanun. He has to, in other words, you have to pull up the Sharanun. You have to call up the Sharanun inside of yourself to fight against the Sharanun. The regular hand-to-hand combat stuff doesn't work with the Sharanun of Tumah. Doesn't work. You have to call up the Sharanun of Kedusha. And that, the way to call that up is with Mesiras Nefesh, with Midas, with Kedusha, with Vayonas Vayetze Achutza, with Mesiras Nefesh. Just because you've been doing this your whole life doesn't mean you have to do it right now. Just because your eyes were always used to just wandering wherever they wanted to, that doesn't mean you have to do it now. I was reading about Rabbi Yochum. Rabbi Yochum was an Ish Kodesh, a tremendous mamik and avodas Hashem. Rabbi Yochum is svarma gevaldik. Rabbi Yochum and I was zeichet to learn my rebbeim were talmidim of Rabbi Yochum. So I just saw in the sefer that. It was Elul, it was the Newsman. This is still in Europe. It was the Newsman. And Rabbi Yochum was very, very makbid that you have to come on time to the davening, you have to come on time to the Seder of learning. There's no playing games, no shtiblach, you know, over there. You have to come. And what happened was, I heard in the Seder, there were a couple of new guys that barely got into the yeshiva. Some new guys, there were two, three new guys, and they were late, and they were terrified, that they shouldn't get caught. So this is an old problem, it's nothing new. So it was their mazel, they were going to the Beis Medrash, and they were walking on this street, whatever that was over there, some mud. They were walking there to go to the Beis Medrash, and hoping to be able to, like, you know, not get in the Beis Medrash, like not to get caught or something, that they came, it was a few minutes late. And Amazel, Rabbi Yochum is walking towards them. Rabbi Yochum is walking towards them. It was still at a distance, but they could see it was Rabbi Yochum. So there was an older fellow from the yeshiva that saw these poor young guys like in trouble, because they were going, oh. So the older guy said, come with me. Because Rabbi Yochum was walking towards them, and he said, come with me. And they moved. He said, just stand against the wall of the house over here. Just stand against the wall. So the guys, they went and they stood with their backs against the wall, and it was, which was only 2 feet away from the road, and Rabbi Yochum just walked past them. Didn't say anything. Nothing happened. So when the coast was clear, so the guys, the Bochum said to the older guy, what was that? So he said, Rabbi Yochum was one of the biggest Talmidim of the Alter from Kelm. And in Kelm, they learned that you never, ever turn your eyes sideways, ever. You only look in front of you, directly where you have to go. You don't waste your eyes on some narishkeit that's here or there, where God is not sending you. You hear this? So I knew that if you just move over a foot or two, he would not see you. And kachav, you just, Rabbi Yochum just... I can't go valdigamise. This to be so self-disciplined, but akidekach that the older guy knew for sure. It's not even a shy guy. You're okay. Just step aside. He'll never see you because he never looks. And it worked. I don't know if they used it again. I'm hoping they started to become also self-disciplined. But. To be able to take hold of oneself and to be able to control oneself ad kedekach that the neshama's palabas over the guf. But luba mikzas, we're not Rabbi Yochum's, okay, but luba mikzas, for this moment I can do it, in this situation I can do it. That's called the Or of Mesirus Nefesh. That's the Shaar HaNun in Kedusha. Mesirus Nefesh is the place of Shaar HaNun. Klaimer. Mesirus Nefesh Yisodu, the middle of the page. Mesirus Nefesh Yisodu Or Shemeevel Gvulus Adam. Mesirus Nefesh means it's a light that comes from beyond your natural, regular capabilities, your regular kaifas, beyond. So the therapist would say, you can't do this. If it wasn't a firm therapist, but if it was a regular therapist, would say, not really, would say, you can't do this. You know, if you feel that urge, then just do it, because it's unhealthy not to do it, because that's your urge. That's your urge, so go with it. Just, you know, don't hurt anybody. You know, doesn't hurt anybody. So go with it. That's your urge. You have such an urge. If you fight against that urge, you're going to be an unhealthy person. Because in the world of the goof. You don't go me'aver l'gvulus adam. There's no territory that's called nun. Everything is just here. Zo geder mesirus nefesh sha'adam moiser es atzim l'dover shem me'aver l'gvulaisav zu hi ha'agdor shem mesirus nefesh ba'aymek. Yeshes ha'mesirus nefesh ha'klolis sha'adam chayv limso nav shal kiddush Hashem. You have the big mesirus nefesh where Jews... where people give up their lives. HaKadosh Hashem, when it's required, it's a Mechames Mitzvah, like we're going through now. Mechames Mitzvah. But people, Jews, are dying for Kiddush Hashem, HaKadosh Hashem. That's one. Or a person gives up because of not to be over on Gilai Reis, Avodah Zarah, Shvi'ah Chazon, Gilai Reis, not to be over on one of the big three Averos. That's Mesirus Nefesh, that's Kiddush Hashem. V'yeshes HaMesirus HaNefesh HaChalakis, but then there's another level of Mesirus Nefesh that's defined as Mesirus Nefesh in the Sfar. Shabam is Noitzei Tzahor Shem'eivu L'Gvulos Adam. And that is not giving up your life, but Kiddush Hashem in such a way. But there's a Nitzoitz, there's a Hisnoitzus, there's a spark, there's an Or that comes Me'eivu L'Gvulos Adam. That you pull out from yourself an Or that's beyond the Gvulos of your own, of your life. Of the life that you've lived until now, to pull that out from yourself. L'chein b'dor, just because I have to leave someplace. L'chein b'dor didon, in our generation, kol zman sh'odem yifol rak begvulos hatsuras odem, in our generation, if a person just wants to use his, you know, what he's comfortable with, or this works for me, that lotion. You know, this regular stuff, like the, you know, regular conventional warfare. That means that he's trying to survive as a Jew of Torah mitzvahs, in the gvulas, within the boundaries, the regular boundaries. V'im kein adayin hakorach shel hara harbe yosef chazak me'agvul. But you're not, you're going to lose. Because the koach of ra is much stronger than the conventional weapon. It's from that piece of something that's like infinite. It's beyond conventional warfare. It's higher than that, or lower than that, but it's not the gvul. Yesh kan kivyochel ein sof neged keneged gvul. Means you're a person that's begvul, you're mugbal, you're limited, and you're trying to fight against something which is ein sof. So you're throwing something at Superman or whatever. You're trying to beat Superman by throwing rocks at him. It's a holech. It's not going to work. This koach is something which is supernatural. It's not begvul, and you're using your natural stuff. Your natural stuff is going to lose. Period. That's what's happening all over the place. Then old, natural, regular, conventional type of warfare is not working. It doesn't mean that everybody's all of a sudden in one. Because people try very, very hard, and they're trying, but there are a lot of casualties. Most of the casualties, the parents in the Rebbeim do not know. They only know the ones where it's already, like, where the guy's already, like, almost out. The regular casualties, the ones that are sitting there dying while they're shuckling, the parents in the Rebbeim don't know. The casualties are all over the place. They're dying all over the place. And I'm not giving some sort of a dark, gloomy picture of things. It's you talk to Bachram a little bit, you'll find out what they're struggling with, and girls in a different way. And you cannot fight this war in the regular way. A war can only be fought now with the Shaar HaNun. Now, how do we teach that to our children? How are we supposed to? So, Mir Shem will continue next week. Okay.